Then he was sick and crouched down, vomiting, but only a little bile burned his throat. There was no more water to give Sparrowhawk, and he was afraid to go near him. He lay down, shivering despite the heat. It was all silent, dry, and bright, terribly bright. He hid his eyes from the light. They stood in the boat, three of them, stalk thin and angular, great-eyed, like strange dark herons or cranes. Their voices were thin, like birds' voices. He did not understand them. One knelt above him with a dark bladder on his arm and tipped from it into Arryn's mouth. It was water. Arryn drank avidly, choked, drank again till he had drained the container. Then he looked about and struggled to his feet, saying, Where is he? For in Lookfar with him were only the three strange, slender men. They looked at him, uncomprehending. The other man, he croaked, his raw throat and stiff, caked lips unfit to form the words. My friend. One of them understood his distress, if not his words, and putting a slight hand on his arm, pointed with the other. There, he said, reassuring. Arryn looked, and he saw, ahead of the boat and northward of her, some gathered in close and others strung far out across the sea, rafts. So many rafts that they lay like autumn leaves on a pool. Low to the water, each bore one or two cabins or huts near the center, and several had masts stepped. Like leaves they floated, rising and falling very softly as the vast swells of the western ocean passed under them. The lanes of water shone like silver between them, and over them towered great violet and golden rain clouds, darkening the west. There, the man said, pointing to a great raft near Lookfar. Alive? They all looked at him, and at last one understood. Alive. He is alive. At this, Arryn began to weep, a dry sobbing, and one of the men took his wrist in a strong and narrow hand and drew him out of Lookfar and onto a raft to which the boat had been made fast. The raft was so great and buoyant that it did not dip even slightly to their weight. The man led Arryn across it, while one of the others reached out with a heavy gaff tipped with a curving whale shark's tooth and hauled a nearby raft closer till they could step the gap. There he led Arryn to the shelter, or cabin, which was open on one side and closed with woven screens on the other three. Lie down, he said. And beyond that, Arryn knew nothing at all. He was lying on his back, stretched out flat, gazing up at a rough green roof dappled with tiny dots of light. He thought he was in the apple orchards of Semmermine, where the princes of Enlad pass their summers, in the hills behind Barilla. He thought he was lying in the thick grass at Semmermine, looking up at the sunlight between apple boughs. After a while he heard the slap and jostle of water in the hollow places underneath the raft, and the thin voices of the raft people speaking a tongue that was the common Hardic of the archipelago, but much changed in sounds and rhythms, so that it was hard to understand. And so he knew where he was. Out beyond the archipelago, beyond the reach, beyond all isles, lost on the open sea. But still, he was untroubled, lying as comfortably as if he lay in the grass in the orchards of his home. He thought after a while that he ought to get up, and did so, finding his body very thin and burnt-looking, and his legs shaky but serviceable. He pushed aside the woven hanging that made the walls of the shelter and stepped out into the afternoon. It had rained while he slept. The wood of the raft, great, smooth-shapen, squared logs, fit close and caulked, was dark with wet, and the hair of the thin, half-naked people was black and lank from the rain. But half the sky was clear where the sun stood in the west, and the clouds now rode to the far northeast in heaps of silver. One of the men came up to Arryn, warily, stopping some feet from him. He was slight and short, no taller than a boy of 12. His eyes were long, large, and dark. He carried a spear with a barbed ivory head. Arryn said to him, "I owe my life to you and your people." The man nodded. "Will you take me to my companion?" Turning away, the raft man raised his voice in a high, piercing cry like the call of a seabird. Then he squatted down on his heels as if to wait, and Arryn did the same. The rafts had masts, though the mast of the one they were on was not stepped. On these sails could be run up, small compared to the breadth of the raft. The sails were of a brown material, not canvas or linen, but a fibrous stuff that looked not woven, but beaten together, as felt is made. A raft some quarter mile away let the brown sail down from the crosstree by ropes and slowly worked its way, gaffing and poling off the other rafts between, till it came alongside the one Arryn was on. When there was only 3 feet of water between, the man beside Arryn got up and nonchalantly hopped across. Arryn did the same and landed awkwardly on all fours. There was no spring left in his knees. He picked himself up and found the little man looking at him, not with amusement, but with approval. Arryn's composure had evidently won his respect. This raft was larger and higher out of the water than any other, made of logs 40 feet in length and 4 or 5 feet wide.